The Holy Gospel according to Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them in anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. Today, we get a glimpse of the Jesus who makes many of us uncomfortable. The rule-breaking Jesus. The law was clear. Keep holy the Sabbath. Do no work, no plucking grain, no making bread, no yard work, no housework. Not even doctors were to work. Unless it was an emergency or crisis, of course. Then, for the sake of the neighbor, there were all sorts of allowances made. Whatever was needed, what was done. The Sabbath was a day of rest for body and spirit, that both might be renewed by God. Which doesn't sound too bad for 2018, does it? No yard work, no housework, just the word of the Lord and rest. So couldn't Jesus have waited to heal the man's hand until the next day? I mean, it wasn't urgent. This was an old injury, maybe a congenital injury. But Jesus doesn't. He breaks the religious rules. And it seems that he does it to make a point. And I'm glad to see Sammy's here again today. And just for you who haven't met Sammy, Sammy has autism, and so he makes noises and speaks and sings sometimes to himself and claps in order to kind of feel himself in his own skin. So we're all learning together how to be church together with people who have different needs. And it takes a while for us to learn. It takes probably a while for Sammy to get comfortable too. But we're in this for the long haul. Jesus breaks the rules. And he does it to make a point. It's pretty obvious. He knows the Pharisees are watching. They just criticized his disciples for plucking grain. The Pharisees are the denomination in Jesus' day who most passionately follow the religious law, the rules. They're considered to be the most religious group. Jesus first rebukes them by claiming that the Sabbath was given to humans to help us because we simply don't have what it takes to worship God. We fall short. We can't really do the Sabbath. We're not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. And under their scrutiny, Jesus heals this man who does not urgently need it. Notice especially you who are rule breakers out there. Actually, I should talk to myself too a little bit. Jesus doesn't break rules just to break rules. In other places, he strictly observes the laws and rules. He does it for the good of the neighbor, and even more importantly, to say who's in charge of the rules, and so the religion. We see, by what the Pharisees do, one of the ways that humans fall short. They're not merely uncomfortable with Jesus, they are mad. So mad they want to get rid of him. Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with another denomination, Herodians, against him, how to destroy him. Not only do humans constantly turn rules into God with a small g and worship the rules, such as don't work on the Sabbath, but we really get mad when we're revealed at doing this, especially when we're told that we're not in charge of the rules, that God is. Humans, in all religions down through the ages, even monotheistic ones, like Islam and Christianity and Judaism, have worshipped rules, that is, trusted in rules as a sort of God. Christians have, at times, placed rules at the center of our faith and insisted on following them at the expense of the gospel and the neighbor. See, if we can insist on rules, then we're in charge, not God. Basically, it's called sin. And we won't be free of sin until the final day, when the crucifixion will be revealed as God's heart for humanity, as the final truth, and God's mercy will triumph. Keep the Sabbath holy, say the rule worshipers who have defined holy. Jesus counters, God's in charge of the Sabbath and holiness. Sorry. Jesus' rule breaking also extends to the whole of life. For example, if we worry about being good enough people or living a good enough life, Jesus says to us, God's in charge of life and what's good enough, not you. And the truth is, you don't have to be religious. Even striving to be good enough makes any human being into a rule worshiper. See, we all have these little rule systems to measure our world and ourselves and other people, but our systems never can give us complete assurance. Never mind that we usually use them to do harm to self and others. But I have very good news for you. Christ has broken all the rule systems by being destroyed himself by us and for us. See, we humans did get mad enough at Jesus to get rid of him. We executed him. And then came the resurrection to prove to us that God's mercy outweighs God's justice, to proclaim to us, we are forgiven, humanity is forgiven, you, dear brothers and sisters, are forgiven. Keep the Sabbath holy. Dear brother and sister, you and I will always fall short, which is why we need to gather regularly to hear the word and be convicted in our hearts of rule worshiping, and to hear God's forgiveness over and over again, to taste God's forgiveness at the table. And we need each other's witness of God's forgiveness on Sundays and throughout the week, so that we might go live out our daily callings as parent and child, student, worker, manager, teacher, doctor, patient, so that we might live out our daily callings with a sense of freedom and also bearing, witnessing to God's mercy in our world. Amen.